Thank you for being patient with us tonight. We really appreciate that. As we celebrated Halloween here on the complex, you got to see a little bit how the sausage is made here at the White House. And so we appreciate your flexibility. To get us started tonight will be Hannah Larson, a senior at Harvard University. And it was just announced this week, if I'm correct, this week, that she was awarded the Schaefer Prize for 2017, which is the top prize for an undergraduate woman in mathematics, which is pretty incredible. So congratulations to Hannah. And she will come to introduce Dr. Cordova.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hannah Larson, a senior studying mathematics at Harvard University. As an undergraduate, I've benefited from the generous support of the National Science Foundation, which gave me the opportunity to do number theory research with Professor Ken Ono at Emory University for 3 summers. These experiences were very important in my decision to apply for graduate school this fall and pursue a career in math research. So tonight, I am very honored to introduce Dr. France A. Cordova, the 14th director of the National Science Foundation. The NSF, a $7.5 billion independent federal agency, is the only government agency charged with advancing all fields of scientific discovery, technological innovation, and science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education. Dr. Cordova has been a leader in science, engineering, and education for more than 3 decades. She has a distinguished career in both higher education and government. Her contributions in multi-spectrum research on X-ray and gamma-ray sources and space-borne instrumentation have made her an internationally recognized astrophysicist. She is President Emerita of Purdue University, Chancellor Emerita of University of California, Riverside, and former Vice Chancellor for Research at the University of California, Santa Barbara. She also served as NASA's chief scientist and is a recipient of the agency's highest award, the Distinguished Service Medal. The steadfast support of my mentors and of the National Science Foundation has encouraged me to pursue research and deepen my love of mathematics. For this, I am so grateful. Actually, just yesterday, I applied for a graduate research fellowship from the National Science Foundation, and I would be very grateful for continued support. So now, please join me in welcoming Dr. France Cordova.
Thank you, Hannah, and good luck with your application. Well, welcome, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to Math and the Movies. Wow, who would have known right here in the White House? Isn't this a tremendous honor for all of us? In fact, let's just give a big hand to everybody who organized this and got us all together. So it was the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy that is really co-hosting tonight's event with the National Science Foundation. And thank you, Hannah, for that wonderful introduction. It's truly an honor. You know, as you said, I was a university president twice over. And honestly, people love universities because of students and students like you, and that's what keeps us there and draws us back. And so it's so wonderful to be reminded of that and doing the job I am now, that it's all about you. It's all about the next generation. And that indeed is what this movie is about. This evening's discussion is going to be led by some very distinguished participants, as you can see here. So thank you to today's moderator, Natoki Ford, Senior Policy Advisor at OSTP. And our panelists, there's DJ Patil, Chief Data Scientist at OSTP, Andrea Hairston, an Applied Research Mathematician at the Department of Defense, Ken Ono, mathematician and advisor for tonight's film, and extraordinary actor and Academy Award winner Jeremy Irons, who appears in tonight's film. feel like this is very high for me. I have to grow a bit. They say these jobs make you grow, but in my case, I don't think there's any hope. Tonight's event is going to address issues that we at NSF believe are critical for the nation. There's a widespread recognition of our need to open up excellent STEM education learning opportunities for everyone, and you know, everyone in this room is committed to that. So at NSF, we fund outstanding projects to help more young students become engaged in math and science and engineering. And we're also looking for ways to broaden opportunities for including those who are traditionally underrepresented in these areas. That's a key initiative of ours. So that includes working with partners in museums and social media and the entertainment industry to tell the stories of science and scientists better. So tonight's movie will tell the story of Srinivasan Ramanujan, the mathematics prodigy who grew up of humble roots in India and faced a lot of struggles on his career path. His story is an unusual one. The more traditional path is to start out concentrating on math and science, as Hannah's now doing at Harvard, and as Dr. Hairston did, getting her BS degree in mathematics at Howard University before her PhD at Duke University. Dr. Patil went through community college on his way to a PhD in applied math from the University of Maryland. And Dr. Ono has discussed how he owes a lot of his success to teachers and mentors who helped him flourish and get a PhD in math from UCLA. And in rare cases, you could become classically trained and admirably portray in cinema a gifted Cambridge professor and mathematician like actor Jeremy Lyons. Whether through movies or other avenues, how can we do a better job of telling these diverse stories to the world? Well, you're going to see a wonderful example of that tonight. Even the seemingly traditional paths may have intriguing twists, like going from a BS in chemistry from Clark Atlanta University to the White House, as Dr. Ford has done. Everyone here has a unique story of their path, one that can spark a passionate curiosity in someone. There are many fascinating accounts like the one in this movie that could be an inspiration to the next great mathematician or scientist out there. I think many of us, I'm included, got our inspiration from the movies. This administration has encouraged young people from all backgrounds and experiences to engage with science and mathematics and to be inspired to pursue careers in those areas. Talent, we know, can come from anywhere, and persistence, along with mentors who believe in nurturing that talent and interest, are critical. I'm looking forward to this film of Ramanujan's inspiring story, which I hope shows young people how important it is to pursue their dreams, even in the face of great challenges. And I understand we'll get a glimpse into what it means to do mathematics at the most basic, fundamental research levels. Tonight's discussion and movie screening should be enlightening. So thank you all for attending. And again, welcome everyone. And thank you, panelists. Thank you, everyone.
All right, well, good evening. I know we started way late, but you can do better than that. Good evening. Thank you. So my name is Dr. Natoki Ford. I'll be moderating tonight's discussion. So you are in for a real treat. We have a really incredible panelist of speakers today to talk about this topic of mathematics and portrayals and how important this is for our society. I'm actually leading a project here that's looking at the role of media to help inspire people and to paint a different picture of what mathematics fields are and also what these other letters in STEM can do for our society, like science, technology, and engineering. And so this is such a critical part of all of our other efforts that focus on attracting more talent and inspiring more kids, because the image of STEM is so critical. And many times this is why we aren't drawing from more of the talent pool that is of young women and people of color. And so it's really a wonderful evening for us to be here to talk about inspirational stories that help paint a picture and show different aspects of an area that people often don't understand and quite frankly are a little bit afraid of. Research actually indicates that parents parents who have anxiety about math, if those parents help their kids, those children do worse on their exams versus if they had gotten no help at all. So this is a real challenge, and this stigma that's associated with math is a real problem, because math in many ways is considered a gateway to all the other letters in STEM. And so it's really incredible to have this discussion with such a distinguished panel here today. So I'm going to make a really brief introductions of everyone again. So to my immediate left is Mr. Jeremy Irons, who is an award-winning actor. He's actually one of the few actors to win what's called the Triple Crown of Acting, which is where someone has won an Academy Award. In his case, he's won a Tony and then 3 Emmy Awards. So welcome, Mr. Irons. And then also joining us is Dr. DJ Patil, who is the first United States chief data scientist and also the person who coined the term data scientist, if that's correct. That is correct. So DJ, thank you for that. Next to DJ is Dr. Andrea Hairston, who is a mathematician at the Laboratory for Analytical Science at the National Security Agency. And Dr. Harrison has a PhD in mathematics from Duke University in the area of stochastic dynamical systems. I was like practicing 3 times to say that correctly. And then last but certainly not least is Dr. Ken Ono, who is a professor of mathematics at Emory University and the founder of the Spirit of Ramanujan Initiative. And he is also a winner of the PCASE Award under the Clinton administration, which is a really distinguished honor for a young scholar. So this is our panel that will be giving us and sharing their thoughts with us today. And so I'm going to start actually with Dr. Ono and ask if you could begin by just giving us a bit of a context for this story and why should we care about Ramanujan.
Great. Well, I'd like to begin by saying I'm delighted to be here. And, where to start? The film, The Man Who Knew Infinity, is about a most improbable man. His name is Srinivasa Ramanujan. And I'm so glad that we're here telling you about this story. And we'll get an opportunity later to enjoy this lovely film that Matt Brown produced. It took 8 years to make. And it's I think at the end of the day, we should thank him and the Pressman family and all the people that made this film possible. So to answer your question, who is Ramanujan? Well, the best way for me to answer that question is to sort of reflect on what we demand of our scientists. Science usually proceeds by the work of thousands working in labs, working in universities, slowly chipping away at fundamental problems. But every once in a while, and it's sweeter because it is rare, individuals come along who propel science forward. They really fundamentally change how fields are done. Think Einstein, think Newton. It took a long time for their works to really be understood. And what do we have in Ramanujan? We have in Ramanujan such a person. I cannot fathom what math and science would be like if the story of Ramanujan had not actually happened, if he had not been brought into the light. Ramanujan is a man who overcame many disadvantages. He was Indian. He grew up in the early 20th century at a time when, India struggled under British colonialism. Try to imagine what those disadvantages alone would mean. But on top of that, he was a 2-time college dropout, and he was completely untrained. Why are we here tonight? Because the 3 notebooks he left behind, we are still mining to this day. And if you read the news, if you read Discover, Scientific American, every few months, you'll hear about breakthroughs in black hole physics, or solutions to ancient mathematical mysteries, or even applications that help drive the internet. Well, I can tell you that Ramanujan plays a central role in all of them, in all of those. And if you want a good role model for young students, if you want a world-class scientist, I think we should do our part to make Ramanujan a household name.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So, Jeremy, I want to come to you next. So you portray G.H. Hardy in the film. So what drew you specifically to this project?
Well, I knew nothing about Ramanujan or Hardy. I knew about Cambridge University, but I'd never been to one. I knew about mathematics, that I didn't like it, and was very fortunate to have a father who was a CPA who did my accounts for me and worked out my taxes, because I couldn't possibly. So I came, read a script about a completely new subject for me, and was attracted to it because of that. I met Matt Brown, who talked about the story with great passion, and Ed Pressman, who I'd worked with on a film called Reversal of Fortune, which he'd produced some years before, had taken great care of that film. And I thought, what with Matt's passion and Ed's consistent pressure, this could be a bit of fun, and it would also be a new land for me to play. I mean, in truth, yes, he was a mathematician, but as far as the acting was concerned, he could have been a geologist. I was playing somebody outside my realm, and I had to pretend that I knew what I was doing. Thank the Lord we had Ken Ono, who watched our backs, because I said, for goodness sake, don't let us put stuff on that board or write stuff down that will be laughed at in situations like this evening's. So Ken was great, and really, as I say, watched our back. And I dealt with the math. It's not the area I'm interested in, I have to be perfectly honest. But what got me into G.H. Hardy was the mathematician's apology, which he wrote, and which made me realize that pure mathematics actually is rather similar to poetry, similar to art, that it's something about which you can become passionate. It's something you search for from wherever it is. It's something that requires a mind which is really open and free to allow whatever to come to you. And I thought, well, I know about that, because that's the state I try to get into when I'm acting. So I got inside Hardy that way and pretended I knew what I was doing when I had to write. And of course, because I think films are about what grabs people, obviously not you were all grabbed by the figures, but what grabs the layman are the emotions and the relationships in a film. And so that was where I worked in this picture. But I'm so pleased that we haven't let you down, that those of you who have seen it don't feel that it's inaccurate or in whatever way. And certainly the mathematicians who've seen it so far seem to be pleased. And if it does encourage people into this, I'm sure, unfashionable direction in education, then great, because I'm sure something what you do is useful. Anyway, so that's my...
So would you say your perception of math improved as a result of working in this on this project?
Improved.
Improved.
Certainly it is.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for that.
My perception, not my understanding.
Yes. Perception. So I want to move over to DJ next. DJ, can you tell us a little bit about your own journey and your experience with math and what led you to become the first U.S. chief data scientist?
Yeah, I mean, for a second, you can't see this, the people that are online, but if you look around, there's images that have been there that are taken about the president and science. And one of the things that I don't think people always appreciate is how much President Obama has done to return science to its rightful place at the forefront of the country and the forefront of the nation and leading and driving what innovation is there. And that is something that we have historically seen. In that same genre, how interesting is it that somebody who's really a community college kid, who really failed most of his math classes in high school, barely graduated, has the opportunity to use math in their day job in this new role that the president has created as the chief data scientist. And our mission is to responsibly unleash the power of data. So what gets a kid excited about math? I think, as we heard, there's lots of paths to go there. One of the ones that is there is inspiration, because you see somebody that's portraying a mathematician. as you see somebody that has written something that's interesting. There's some spark. It's more than a spark, though. There's somebody that has to nurture the flame. Somebody has to take that desire to carry it forward. My spark was, luckily enough, my girlfriend at the time who took this class called calculus in junior college. So like all smart people, I took the same class as she did. And what that led me to is that this really powerful set of concepts. And what I was able to do through that process of getting enamored by that is I had really excellent coaches, people who were there to shape and mold me and carry me forward as I was going through this process. And from there, being able to go to grad school and going on to become a junior faculty and keep shaping that. The part of math that I think is truly incredible these days, whether we call it data science, we call it astronomy, we call it whatever it is, whatever we want to name these things, it's about the art. It's about the humanity of making creativity come alive. It's not the stodginess of just a set of formulas and equations. It's about this fascinating thing. And for those that are online, because we're online talking to the country and the world, one of the things that we did before is we thought, you know, one of the things that I did when I first joined here, Joe Handelsman, who you're going to hear from a little bit later, ourselves, we gave America apparently its first math homework problem. So we decided to give America its second homework problem. So we brought it here and like, because good math to do. We couldn't find a chalkboard anymore in the White House, but we brought a problem out here. So there's our problem. So we're not going to tell you the answer just yet, but you'll see us post the answer later. So there you go. But this is a thing.
Did you need to read it? Could everybody see from in the back?
Read it out?
Can somebody read it out loud?
Actually, wait. Let's have somebody who's got a good voiceover. I believe we have someone on my right.
Jeremy, do you want to read it?
We may have a person here.
What is the smallest number that is the sum of two cubes in two different ways? What is the smallest number that is the sum of two cubes in two different ways? Do you want to go again?
So for those of you viewing at home and in the room, if you have the answer, you can tweet the answer using the hashtag MathMovies. Again, that's hashtag MathMovies. So we want to see what answers we get.
And someone's going to answer that very quickly, so let me add to that. What is then the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth smallest numbers?
We're really testing
that'll keep you busy.
America
if you do
now.
That, France, I'm sure, has a grant for you. but let's go on.
Great, thank you. So DJ, you talked about a spark. So I want to move on to Andrea. Can you tell us about what your spark was? And also, if you had any difficulties and things that you faced along your journey and how you were able to persist.
Right, so I think what DJ was saying was spot on. Exposure is a big, big deal for students who may not know what their options are. So people who might have a mathematical curiosity, so that was me growing up, I had a mathematical curiosity, but all I saw it as was a hobby. Right, you know, play around with puzzles, play around with problems. I didn't know about the careers, and I think that's why I'm here today, because I have a really cool math career. But what happened for me, it took a long time for that spark to come. So I kept pursuing mathematics in school. I majored in math in college. And then I said, well, I still like math, so I'll go to grad school. Still didn't know what exactly I wanted to do. I just assumed I would go into academia and teach. It wasn't until my fellowship for graduate school, which was sponsored by the National Security Agency, obligated me to do this internship. And that's when I got there, that's when I got my mentors. That's when I got people who opened up mathematics for me in a whole new way and said, you can solve really important problems using mathematics. You can do really interesting things. You can even partner with people who know nothing about mathematics, but a lot about something else. You guys can work together and do very important things for the nation. So My spark was definitely being exposed to people doing alternative sort of careers. By alternative, I mean outside of academia, and using mathematics and really, honestly, the culture was another spark for me. So DJ said mathematics doesn't have to be this stodgy, solving equation sort of thing. And I personally wasn't attracted to that at all. But when I got to NSA, I saw people really working together, having a good time, and that really, really inspired me to pursue a math career.
Oh, it's interesting that you mentioned culture as being something that would draw you, but I think most people would not think of the culture of math as something that could be appealing. So the question, and Ken, you can maybe start and answer this, is what do you think is a big misconception about math and math careers? And also, do you think this misconception is addressed in the film?
Okay, there's a lot of questions there. So let me begin by saying that in the room, you could have asked the question you asked the others and gotten many different answers. Manjul Bhargava, a good friend, he's a Fields medalist, is in the room. Po Shen Lo, who is the U.S. Olympic math team coach, which, by the way, United States has won the U.S., I mean, the World Math Olympiad the last 2 years. We all have different paths, and maybe you can make a movie about every one of us in the sense that we probably can all point to a first teacher or a mentor that transformed our lives.
Or a girlfriend.
Or, well, yeah, I don't know about you, DJ. That's a first. But so what these mentors tell us and what they inform us is that they begin to offer suggestions of, you know, the possibility of pursuing careers in math or STEM-related fields. You often hear, from people who aren't in math, that they're just not good at math, as if you have to be born with some special talent to even begin considering pursuing something related to math. And that's like so crazy. If you wanted to be a distance runner, right? You practice, you train. If you want to be good at anything, you practice, you train. I can't think of anything where you're just born good at a skill and then you're world class. But for some reason in math, there's this cultural belief that if you can't solve problems, you know, lickety-split, if you're not whip smart, then it's not a field for you. And I think that that's crazy. Turning to the film, what do we have in Ramanujan? We have someone who thought his ideas came as visions from a goddess, wrote down scribbled formulas. He's someone that we almost lost in an inelastic educational system. He was a two-time college dropout. He was almost lost. And so I think we should remember that. We're going to watch a film tonight about someone who, if we encounter today, would we discover him? And I hope we can get an opportunity later in this conversation to talk about how do we find the talent? How do we help bring people into the light? Because I think we need to do a better job of that.
I think he answered your question about the misconception. That would have been my answer, is that one of the biggest misconceptions in mathematics is that you have to be a genius to be a mathematician. And I think I'm a successful mathematician mostly because I'm resilient, right? So, you know, I spent a year and a half or more in grad school going down the wrong path, right? And so some people could say, wow, that's a long time to pursue the wrong path, and they walk away, this is not for me, right? But in mathematics, that's so common. It's very, very common, and I don't think we do a great job of letting students know how common it is to hit brick walls and to spend a lot of time doing the wrong thing before you do the right thing. So I think he's a great, great, great role model for mathematics, because I think that's a more realistic depiction of how things go. So, you know, there are other movies out there, like A Beautiful Mind and, you know, Imitation Game and that sort of thing, Good Will Hunting. I think those are the exceptions to the rule, right?
So that's a really great point you bring up in terms of the difference in the portrayals of how mathematicians are portrayed, and there's this sort of genius, and it makes it seem very much out of reach for people. But I love that you've mentioned how it's very much when it comes to athletics, we have this mentality of you train, you work hard, you build muscles, you grow strong. But for math, we don't really reinforce this idea of really working at something to develop a skill set. So since you've talked about these other films that have portrayed these mathematics or mathematicians in different ways, how do you think this one measures up in terms of like what draws certain audiences to? You mentioned The Beautiful Mind, for instance. And what do you think is different about this film that could bring a different perspective or different take on what it means to be a mathematician?
Are you asking me?
Yes, or anyone.
Oh, okay.
Anyone, yeah.
So I just would like to rewind a quick bit.
Sure.
Po Shen Lo, who I mentioned a moment ago, who was the U.S. Olympic math team coach, he brings his kids to him every summer, and they train. Those kids, they're smart, but, you know, they have a coach. And through his hard effort and some of the programs that he designs, we win, right? So this is a model that I think can be expanded. He has a company called xp.org. I invite everyone to log on to it because this is something that can be scaled and the whole country and the world can take advantage of. Now, turning to films, I love these films. I think they're all great films. I love going to movies. Each one of the characters that these movies are about are very different, and they're inspirational in different ways. In a few weeks, I believe in January, there's a film called Hidden Figures. It's a lovely story. Earlier this year, President Obama awarded the National Medal of Freedom to an African-American mathematician, Katherine Johnson. I mean, it's not just a great story, it's history. It's our country's history. We put people into space through the help of mathematics. And the story is about these super disadvantaged young African-American mathematicians who had to convince their superiors that they could do the calculations. And I don't want to give much of the film away, but as the story goes, correct me if I'm wrong, John Glenn wasn't going to get in that spaceship unless Katherine Johnson confirmed the calculations. And so math is everywhere. DJ pointed out these lovely pictures. There's mathematics behind every one of these pictures, whether it's designing wheelchairs, whether it's internet security, whether it's NASA, or whether it's questions related to the spread of disease. Math is everywhere. And in every one of these fields, there is a leader who we could make a movie about.
So I'm happy you brought up Hidden Figures and Katherine Johnson. How many of you in the audience know who Katherine Johnson is? How many of you who raised your hand did not know who she was until you saw the trailer for the film Hidden Figures? A fair number of you. So that's, again, this is showing the power of movies and images to really help increase awareness. So I want to shift a little bit and talk more about careers in math, because I think this is another sort of challenge for people, is understanding what does a job in mathematics actually look like and how does that translate. And so DJ, you worked in the private sector as well as the federal government. So can you talk about your experience in the private sector and also just the sort of range of job opportunities?
You know, when I was a grad student and trying to think about what do you do, how do you train, and it's an interesting analogy. Actually, so I was one thing I don't often talk about is I was actually a theater minor. The reason it's a minor is because I wasn't
really
very good. but the amazing thing about it is you look at how much people train in these things, and how much you work and you practice, and it's normal. And how it's, when we go through math, it feels like, I just got to get through the homework exercise and we're done. The notion of play, the notion of exploration, try it this way, try it that way, those type of things. Almost all the creative mathematicians I've worked with have this genre of creativity. And one of the things that is, I think, so appealing about for mathematicians is that creativity can manifest in such an incredible array of disciplines. Not just the physical sciences, but the arts, policy, other things. If you walk around the White House, it turns out, as we were letting people know here at the White House, the number of people who emailed who said, by the way, I'm a mathematician, was shockingly large. And I was like, really? We have this many mathematicians? It's incredible. Very, very powerful. One of the things that I think is there is in that math teaches you is how to be clever, how to approach problems with a degree of cleverness. And the disciplines in which that is, whether that's building the next classic Silicon Valley-style company, or trying to solve some of today's most difficult, pressing problems. How to figure out how to educate people at scale. How do we solve income disparity? How do we get prosthetic devices to work in remarkable ways? Some of you may have seen the president gave a fist bump to a person who is fully paralyzed but has the ability to remotely control an arm that gives tactical feedback. So it actually, when you fist bump him, he actually feels it. That ability, those type of things, self-driving cars. The realm is truly incredible. And one of the things is I can't imagine a more powerful foundation on which you can build so many different things. To me, it's like a trunk of a tree that allows you to pick a diversity of branches that you can go after at any different time and switch back and forth.
That's really interesting that you bring up sort of the technology like angle and this relationship even between math and technology. So the question, I'm going to direct this to Andrea. What are your thoughts on this role between mathematics and technology and how they go hand in hand?
Today, I think it's imperative that math is paired with technology. I mean, math is the foundation for most of the technology that we're seeing anyway, but I think it's important that, so I'll just talk about my personal experience. I was trained as a pure mathematician, and I didn't have a lot of exposure to technology. No computer programming, I mean, very little computer programming and that sort of thing. But today, some of our hardest problems involve massive amounts of data, right, that we are not able to sort of calculate pen and paper, right? And so I think that it's important that we're training mathematicians today with technological sort of acumen so that they can take the creativity and the cleverness that they have as trained mathematicians and really apply it to solve some of our hardest problems.
So that's really great. I want to also shift back a little bit. We talked about a very important thing that we've continued to discuss, especially for our priorities for this administration, is about talent and untapped talent and how do we draw more people, even from some what would be considered unlikely places. And so I want to shift gears a bit in terms of thinking through this issue of inspiring and not just inspiring, but drawing more young people to this and to be interested in this. And so, Ken, I would love to have you talk a little bit about your initiative that's focused specifically on this idea of drawing or unearthing talent from what would be an unlikely place even.
Great. Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about that. A few months ago, we screened the film, The Man Who Knew Infinity, to a very distinguished group in Silicon Valley. And there was a panel not very different from this one. And we were talking about what the takeaway should be for the film. And basically born on the spot there, together with Sam Pressman and the Pressman Films and IFC, we decided to carry out a world search, a global search for talent. We call it the Spirit of Ramanujan Talent Search. And on the spot, the president of the World Templeton World Charity Foundation came up to me and said, I want to help. And so what have we been doing for the last half year or so? We have, together with XP.com, Po Shen's program, we've been scouring the planet. Just like SETI is searching for extraterrestrial life, we're searching this planet for undiscovered math talent. Many thousands have logged on to XP.com, and what we're inviting people who are very creative, very confident, and we're asking them to send us examples of their creative scientific works, right? And not everyone can go to a well-endowed high school or so on. People need help. We all need help. I've never met someone who was successful that didn't need help. And I'm very proud to say that we've already found some of our new Ramanujans. We've given out three or four of these prizes already. We located a boy in Qatar who at the age of 10 figured out a new way of computing digits of pi on his own. There's a boy in Atlanta who basically is this wunderkind who passed the AP calculus test at the age of 10 or 11, the youngest ever. And I'm proud to say that here today we discovered a girl in Baltimore, maybe Kendall, you should stand up. Kendall Clark is a 10th grader. So we located Kendall through accidentally through some contacts that I had made through her teacher, and Kendall, who is in 10th grade in Baltimore, we're arranging her to have summer research experiences with professional researchers in dynamical systems. And you should, if you get an opportunity to chat with her, I met her for the first time this afternoon. She wants to talk math. I kind of want to get to know her. I mean, this is the future. And you already met Hannah Larson and Sarah Trebat Leader is also here. There are teachers and
have you
professors.
Thought about a career in data science? You know, there's there's a new administration coming up. Someone's going to have to take this job.
So let me just conclude by saying there are teachers everywhere that come across kids that are so talented that they don't know how to challenge and engage them. Invite them to apply for our scholarship, the Templeton World Charity Ramanujan Scholarship. We've got a lot to give out. I want to bring 30 new geniuses into the light because everyone needs help. And I'm glad that you gave me the opportunity to talk about that.
Wonderful. So the next question I want to throw out, and this is to anyone on the panel, and we haven't really touched as much on this yet, is the role of mentoring. So this is definitely the relationship that we see in the film. There's a strong mentorship between Ramanujan and Hardy. So can you all, if anyone who wants to volunteer their own personal experiences and how you felt mentoring was critical in your own journey as mathematicians?
I'm actually curious, maybe to flip that almost on its head, I'm actually curious, Jeremy, when you look at it through your eyes of that experience portraying it, for thus of us that are mathematicians or parents, what should we take away from the mentoring experience or how to think about it that is unique, that as you were trying to get inside this person who obviously was a phenomenal mentor?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the character tells him to prove it. Proofs. You need proofs. Now, I don't know why you need proofs. I don't understand any of that. So I'm not the person to talk to about this at all. I mean, I just wanted to mention one thing, and then we'll come back and you answer the question, because I can't answer it, which is that I remember a state in my education when calculators came in. And everybody said, oh, if the kids use calculators, they won't exercise their brains, they won't. And then we have computers, which can do all these sums, as you were saying. Does that not work against the mental agility that we're trying to train our children to have?
Well, now that you put that gauntlet down. You know, for me...
And then talk about mentoring.
Okay, well, so I am forever grateful that I grew up in an era where I also had to do a tremendous amount by hand. I think there is something that when you do it slow, and it's like a form of cooking in many ways. For those that are into cooking, and you go through the process, there is something unique about it by forcing yourself to go through the steps in that unique way of chopping rather than just putting it in the food processor that helps you come to a better solution and a deeper understanding of things. I think today what we have is we have the ability to cover a broader array of items. And so we have breadth that is unbelievable. People can study one problem or another problem. We put out this data recently. So for those that don't know, traffic fatalities inside the United States are going up at an astonishing rate. They've gone up 7.2% last year. They're going up another 7.2% this year. We don't really understand why. Is it distracted driving, cheaper car, or cheaper gas, better economy? We don't know. So we turned around.
Well, I can tell you. And I'm an artist. It's because concentration is what keeps us safe. And modern cars are so cut off from reality with their technology and their heating and their music and their comfort that we just daydream into accidents.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also have people who are tired driving and all these other things. But here's
we're told about that. We're warned about that.
But here's
get into any modern car, and it's like sitting, it's like sitting in a cloud of candy floss.
Well, we hope that we're eventually able to make them fully automated.
But this is appalling, because this is just taking away. I mean, it's very clever to make an automatic car, or an automated car, but actually it's taking away from the fun of living and the fun of driving.
Well, I think that's where we're actually going, to the same place, which is what we're doing with this by opening up this data in this interesting way is we're allowing people and kids to study the problem in unique ways and get them invested. In the same way, I think the part that you're really raising is that how do you make things deeply, deeply tangible? The more tangible that you make math, when we make math a problem that is just like, you know, Sally paints the fence at three times the rate that Jack or Jerome produces, like paints the fence, you know, how long does it take? Like, those type of problems aren't interesting. When we ground a problem in reality that makes it deeply, deeply tangible and relevant to your life, your actual experience, I think we see a different type of lift, a different type of natural that engagement that comes along. And so you're no longer detached from reality because you're like, why should I ever care about this math problem? And the best mentors that we've seen that do math all have this ability to take the math and make it deeply personally relevant. And when we say relevant, we also mean fun. Like when we've had the Math Olympiad kids here, and one of the things that they all highlight is how much they get enjoyment by just talking to each other about it and exploring, because it's a deeply human process. It's not like they just use a calculator and then talk to the calculator. That's not it. They talked to each other and they explored and they pushed each other and they brought it and they made it a team sport. And that to me is the part that makes it personally to me that I say, wow, if we made that in every way possible, including in all these other technologies. The president talks about how we have to make technology work for us, not against us. And that is in every dimension here. And so I am with you completely on that aspect.
So we are winding down quickly on time. So I want to give each of our panelists a chance to leave the audience with something. In terms of closing thoughts, what would you like people to come away with as a result of this conversation around math, around inspiring people, around the role of technology and how it goes hand in hand? How do we produce this mentality of perseverance when it comes to math and not just athletics? So as people are, I'm going to start with Ken, actually, and then we'll close with Jeremy in closing thoughts.
Oh, great. I wasn't quite prepared for this question, so I will be brief. I love the film, The Man Who Knew Infinity, so stick around. It's going to be a lovely treat. It's been one of the highlights of my professional career to help out on a film. When you write a PhD in math, you never think you're going to be on a film set with the voice of Scar trying to explain Skew's theorem. So my takeaway is it's a lovely story. The story of Ramanujan plays a very important role in my life. And for those of you who have kids or friends or neighbors or students that could benefit from our global search, well, we're looking. And, look us up, and maybe we can help.
So I think that if we want to inspire young people to pursue STEM careers, representation matters.
Right.
I just want to leave with that. I think that the more we make movies like this and other movies that are have inspiring STEM role models like Hidden Figures, that's really going to change our country, right? For people to see mathematicians that look like me and DJ and Ken and Jeremy. Well, Jeremy, you're not a mathematician, but you play one on TV.
Not yet. So
But that's what I want to leave.
Wanted to wear, because it's Valentine's, it's Halloween tonight or something.
right, so you
I wanted to wear a dunce's hat, but I couldn't find one.
So that's what I want to leave with. Representation matters.
I think I'll leave with just two things, because I want to emphasize that, is that this works only if it works for Monique and Sophia and Jesse and Tom and Jerome and every single kid in this country. When that opportunity presents itself, we find that uniqueness. And we're going to find the hidden gems that transform our society. That we're seeing. We've had the White House Science Fair. And every year, you want to see what is going to come around the corner to make this country keep being the best country in innovation. You just take a look and hang out with those kids for a little minute. The second thing I want to say is, when you hear somebody that says, "Oh, that's too hard. Oh, math, that's not cool," you got to stop that. We're better than that. That's not the society we live in. That's not the culture we want to promote. That is, we're undermining our investment in society fundamentally when we lose ourselves of an excuse to seem like it's okay to talk down on a subject. And that's our collective responsibility to call ourselves out on that. And then those that do have some kind of spark, take time to cultivate it. Take that time. And that is a we problem. That is a we solution. If we all take a moment to cultivate and just say, "That's very cool, that's awesome," that is going to systematically change the trajectory of how we think about this and the number of people that are coming into the discipline and the problem sets that we're going to find solutions for.
I got to clap for that.
And I would say identify the problem sets that need solutions in our lives. Why is there such social injustice? Why are there so much richness in the world and it's not getting to people who need a roof over their head and food in their families' mouths? What can maths teach us about that? Why do we have no control over the amount of garbage we make out of our industrialized nation? Why are we destroying the environment with that? Math surely can be useful there. So I would say, if you want to cure things, if you want to make the world better, and you have a mathematical bent, then use that bent to discover how you can improve the situation in both in America and globally. So don't think of it as an academic subject, but think of it as a really, really useful subject, and maybe you will be good at that.
Wonderful. So the only other thing I'll add to just reiterate a point that DJ made is we have to stop letting people opt out of feeling like they need to develop math skills. This is a really big problem, and as I mentioned at the start of this panel, math is in many ways viewed as a gateway to all other subjects in terms of those other letters in STEM. And so we really have to not make it culturally acceptable to say, I just wasn't a math person. And we also have to do our parts in helping our kids feel more confident. The confidence piece is so critical to this, and we need to help our kids recognize that difficulty at the beginning of something is not a sign that they don't belong or that they can't improve later on. And so with that, I want to thank our amazing panel for their wonderful insights that they shared today. Thank you all for rolling with us. I know we started a little late. So we are going to have a brief reception so you can take part in some refreshments outside. And then we'll come back in here for the film in like 30 minutes or so. Thank you.